Oh, good evening, everybody. Hey, Ethan. He's like, I want to be the preacher. Someday. Tonight, our sermon topic is on lying, deceptions, falsehoods, etc. You know, basically, we're going to be thinking about everything that's not truth or untruth. You know, being guilty of non-truth can involve both our words and our deeds, which are intended to lead people to believe in something that just simply is not true. And we need to note right on the outset that sometimes people do say things that are not true, but that does not necessarily mean that they are willfully guilty of lying. You know, in 2019, last year in July, when my birthday came around, I was telling everybody I was 43. How old are you? 43. The problem was I was 42. Okay, but I absolutely believed I was 43. I had no idea. I just didn't do the math, right? And so I simply just didn't do the math, and so I had the wrong number. But and my intent was never to deceive people about my age. I'm not worried about that year. You know, I thought I was telling the truth, although technically it was a lie. You know, we're not talking about that kind of stuff. You know, we're talking about lying with intent, deceiving with intent. And to do so, we're gonna look at ways that we may be guilty of lying and deceptions, and we'll think about the things that cause us to lie and deceive, and then we're gonna follow that with some of the consequences for lying. So let's start on some specific kinds of lies and deceit. The first is just the easy one, the outright, you know, falsehoods. You know, what we would normally call just a bold-faced lie. You know, the one who tells them is well aware that they're telling just an outright falsehood. You know, and there's all kinds of passages in the Bible that rebuke in general that the concept of lying. You know, God hates a lying tongue and a false witness, Proverbs 6. Exodus, you shall not bear false witness, one of the Ten Commandments, right? Ephesians 4 says, put away lying. You know, and so just don't do it. Bold-faced lying is the easy one, but there's others, you know. Next we have making false promises. You know, some people make promises they have no intention on keeping, you know, and that's a form of deliberately misleading people. In Genesis, there's all kinds of stories that include Jacob, and they include lying and deceit of some kind, various kinds. For example, he bargained with his uncle Laban to serve for Rachel 7 years, right? He's going to get Rachel as a bride. Laban agreed, and made the promise, yes, but then on the wedding night, he gave Leah to Jacob instead. And Jacob said that Laban beguiled him, you know, which means he deceived him. In Exodus 8, Pharaoh promised to let the children of Israel go once the plagues were removed, right? Or let them go if the plagues would be removed, but once the plagues were gone, he didn't keep his promise, you know? Now, with that said, we as humans, you know, we may have circumstances beyond our control when we simply cannot keep the promise we really intended to keep, but when we knowingly make a promise that we never intend to keep, or when we choose not to keep it when we could, you know, we deliberately, that's deceit. That's deceiving people. It's a lie. Another form of deception and lying is flattery, right? Often people want to make a favorable impression on others. And so they'll say nice things that they don't really mean. They just don't really mean those things, or they don't really believe to be true. And so that may seem like it's being kind, but it's a form of deliberately deceiving others. Jude 16 talks about these false teachers who often walk according to their own lusts, and it says they speak smooth words, flattering people to gain an advantage. And so they say nice things about others, that professing to care about them, whatever it may be, but really they're just seeking their own advantage. They're not being truthful with it. And that might remind you of, you know, politicians trying to get votes, that kind of stuff. They pretend to think highly of the constituents, but they're really just out to get something. Next we have false doctrine. You know, when religious teaching is presented as truth, even though it can't be proved by the Bible, deceit's always involved. Genesis 3, go right back to the beginning. Satan told Eve what? She would not die if she ate of the forbidden fruit. Yet God had said that she would. Eve sinned, and then she said in chapter 3, verse 13, that this serpent had beguiled her. He had deceived her. In Jeremiah 14, recently we've been reading through Jeremiah in our chronological daily Bible reading. In chapter 14, the prophets prophesied in God's name. The thing is, God hadn't sent them. And so they prophesied a false vision and the deceit of their heart. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about the false apostles and deceitful workers. You know, they pretend to be servants of Christ, angels of light, ministers of righteousness, all that good stuff. There's a lot of teachers out there, false teachers who present themselves as men of God who are teaching his word, yet they teach things that cannot be proved with the scripture. And false teaching, it's sinful for a number of reasons, but one reason is it always involves deceit. You know, many religious leaders are deceitful because they claim a teaching's from God when they know they don't have the proof. Now, sometimes there are teachers out there who they're sincerely in error. They really believe their teaching is truth, and in that case, they've been deceived by someone else and self-deceived. Next, we have hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, that's a hypocrite is a deceiver because they pretend to be something they're not. Pretty simple, right? You know, in the Bible, hypocrisy is always associated with deceit. Talks about in 1 Timothy 4, it says, depart from the truth. Those who depart from the truth, they speak lies and hypocrisy. You'll see lies and hypocrisy or deceit and hypocrisy linked together in a lot of passages. Malachi chapter 1, these people would be pretend to be pious and servants of God, and you're pretending to bring a proper sacrifice to God. But the problem was is they refused to give the quality of animal that God had wanted. And so God calls them out of that in Malachi. And so what happened was is they looked like they're faithful on the surface, but God knew that they're just putting on a show. They're hypocrites, deceiving. Another form is half-truths, telling half-truths. Some folks convince themselves that they're innocent just as so long as what they say is technically true, even though they intend to mislead others to believe something that's not true. I mean, because it's possible. It's possible to tell people things that are technically true, yet we'll leave out just certain facts, right? Or we'll speak in a way that leads others to believe in some kind of lie. Abraham and Sarah, we've recently been studying them. Abraham said that Sarah was his sister. That was half-truth. She was, in fact, his half-sister. The problem was that she was also completely his wife. So they left out an important fact. In Genesis 37, you know, Joseph's brothers, remember that? They sold him to the Midianites, and they took that special coat of many colors, and they killed a lamb, and they dipped it in the blood, right? And they go to Jacob, and they say, we found this coat, technically true, right? And it's covered in blood. Does this coat look like yours? It's your son's or not, right? And so technically, they found the coat. But they left out some important facts, right? Technically true, but they left out some facts that in order to lead Jacob to believe that a wild animal had killed Joseph. In Exodus 30, another good one, Exodus 32, when Moses confronts Aaron about the golden calf, remember what Aaron said? I threw the gold in and the calf came out. Technically true, right? He did take gold and put it in a fire and a calf came out. The part was he left out the whole, you know, fashioning the calf with an engraving tool, making a mold for the thing, you know? Many salesmen, you know, they're experts at half-truths. Modern entertainment is often filled with that kind of stuff. You know, most false teaching involves a lot of half-truths, you know. What the teacher may say is technically true, but then they'll leave out essential facts or twist the truth, right, to lead people to believe something different than from what God intended. How about being saved by faith, right? We are all saved by faith. But for some teachers, what that means is completely different than what the Bible says. So technically, it's true as being saved by faith. It's a biblical thing, but what do they mean by that? Now, I want to note here, though, also that we're not required to tell people everything we know, right? You know, some things are confidential, or there may be no good reason to why some particular person should know everything that we know about something. Keeping a matter secret or confidential, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're keeping a matter to yourself, don't lead others to think things that are untrue, or that you have told them the whole matter when you haven't. Next, we have self-deception. One of the saddest forms of deceit is self-deception. People who don't want to face the reality, right, can sometimes convince themselves to believe things that they really deep down they know aren't true. There's all kinds of passages that condemn self-deception. You know, let no one deceive himself. 1 Corinthians 3:18, right? You know, if anyone thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool. There's a lot of people who think they're smarter than they are, right? And they trick themselves, deceive themselves into believing error. Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You know, sometimes people just don't want to admit what they're really like. And so they deceive themselves into thinking they're better than they are. You know, sometimes people just going through religious practices have themselves convinced that they're faithful. You know, and that's why James says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Don't hear certain things. You know, if you think you're religious, but then you don't live the right kind of life, you know, your religion is useless. And so people deceive themselves because, you know, they're in many ways religious, and so they think they're acceptable to God. But he's not pleased with them because they're still sin in the other areas of their lives. Think about this. People who believe in false doctrines, people who believe in like things like evolution, they'll often have some kind of underlying motive of not wanting to believe in God or not having to obey God. Right? Romans 1 talks about that. They could have this knowledge of God, but they put that knowledge out of their minds because they don't want to have to submit to him. And so they come up with all these other systems to believe in, that kind of stuff. And a lot of times they'll, like with evolutionists, they'll claim that they've become convinced by the scientific evidence. And that's why they really believe what they do. The thing is, deep down, they may, in self-deceived, they may not even realize, they just don't want to face the truth. And so they'll defend their error until they convince themselves that it's true. Sadly, we see something happen often in the church, all too often. The same thing often happens with people who have family members or loved ones who go into error, right? Perhaps an unscriptural divorce or some false religious practice, and they just can't bring themselves to believe that their loved ones have fallen from grace, that their loved ones are lost living like that. And so they'll seek for some kind of justification until they finally convince themselves of a lie. They'll convince themselves that family member's just fine, that loved one's fine. Self-deception is an area, sad in any area of our life, but when it comes to matters of faith, it's especially sad. You know, it's amazing, and it's amazing that that's probably one of the biggest areas where people are self-deceived is when it comes to matters of faith. So now let's move on. Let's think about some of the causes of lying and deceit and that kind of stuff. In order to think about why we do these things, we need to think about what causes us to be guilty, what motivates us for that. Now, ultimately, you're going to start with the devil, right? With Satan. You know, Jesus said that. You know, I said he's a liar and the father of it, speaking of Satan. You know, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied about the gift that they brought to the church. Peter asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" In Matthew 15:18, Jesus names the things that come from the heart that defile a man, and one of those includes being a false witness. And so when we tell lies, we have followed the influence of Satan in the world, but ultimately we have a heart problem. It comes from within. And so if we're going to change, we have to start thinking about changing our hearts, our attitudes, and think about the specific things that cause people to lie. Make sure that's not our motivator for lying. One of the first ones I want to mention, sometimes we lie for selfishness or personal gain of some kind. We seek to obtain some kind of benefit. You know, there's something, a goal, whatever it may be, items, whatever it may be. And we think that there's no way to achieve that by telling the truth. And so we lie. You know, Jacob said that Laban had deceived him and changed his wages 10 times. And what would happen is he would agree to pay him a certain wage, but it would result that it would work out to Jacob's favor and his advantage. And so Laban would then change the pay to something else instead. And Jacob said he was deceitful. He deceived him by doing that. Ahab, king of Israel, he wanted to buy a vineyard, right? But the owner Naboth, he wasn't going to sell it. And so Ahab's wife Jezebel, she proclaimed a feast in Naboth's honor, and she hired two men to lie, to testify that he had blasphemed, and so they could stone him to death so he could get the vineyard, gain an advantage. In Proverbs 11:1 and Micah 6:11, both of those passages talk about how a false balance and deceitful weights are an abomination to God. God hates those types of things because those are ways to cheat people in business by lying and deceit to gain some kind of advantage. And so often businesses tell lies to convince people to buy their products. You know, some employees are required to lie. Politicians, I'm throwing them under the bus a lot tonight, right? They make false promises, right? You know, about their past. They'll make lies about their past in order to get elected, whatever it is. And personal gain is also a huge motivator for false teachers. They're going to gain something out of it. Now, next, we sometimes lie in order to cover up something we did. Right? I think that probably might be the easiest one, the quickest one to get trapped in before you even know it. That's what led Jacob's sons to deceive him into thinking that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. You know, they'd sold him into slavery. They didn't want their father to know that, so it's a cover-up job. When Elisha healed Naaman of leprosy, he refused to take a gift from Naaman, right? But after Naaman left, Gehazi's like, boy, I'd sure like some of that. And so Gehazi pursued Naaman and asked for some money and for some clothes. When Elisha asked him about it, what'd Gehazi do? I didn't do nothing. He lied to cover it up. Politicians, other famous people, they lie all the time to cover up their sins. You know, nearly every criminal lies to deny guilt. Years ago, I was in traffic court because I was bad. And I was waiting forever for all the people in front of me, and they were all guilty of sin. Every last one of them, caught red-handed. I mean, drunk driver, no license, haven't had a license for 5 years, hit a pole and was passed out behind the wheel downtown Loudonville, right? That kind of stuff, right? Didn't do it. That's a lie, you know? It's a lie, but people just lie to get out of this, try to deny their guilt. It happens all the time. But you know, here's the crazy part is people also lie to cover up things that aren't sins. We do that all the time. Maybe it's to keep from being embarrassed. Maybe it's to avoid some kind of confrontation with others. Maybe you're secretly a Cleveland Browns fan, right? I know there's got to be some closet Cleveland Browns fan here. But when you're asked about that, if that's the case, you're going to say no, because that'd be embarrassing, right? You can cover up that embarrassment. It's just so quick, right? It's so easy to lie in order to cover up the truth when it's inconvenient. Sometimes we lie out of pride. And we lie out of envy. You know, we tell lies because we want people to think that we're better than we really are. The lie Ananias and Sapphira told, right? Motivated by pride. Other people were given sacrificial gifts to the church, right? And they wanted people to think that their gift was greater than what they'd really given. The Pharisees were hypocrites because they pretended to be religiously devout in order to get the favor of the people. Some people lie about how much education or work experience they have. I'm telling you about the guy at the pit that used to lie about everything. If he added up all the years that he worked at every job, he'd be like 200 years old. He'd lie about his work experience all the time. Many false teachers try to misrepresent their doctrine or their personal lives. You know, many try to hide their immorality so people will think more highly of them. You know, also, though, sometimes we lie because of misguided love and kindness. Some people tell lies just to avoid causing problems, right? It's easier just this little lie in order to avoid that problem or to avoid hurting someone's feelings. Well, Abraham told his wife Sarah to tell people that she was his sister. I want you to lie. He said, we decided this before we ever left, right? Otherwise, somebody might kill me and take you. And so he said, I want you to lie and let this be your kindness to me, right? Isaac sent Esau to hunt and fix venison, right? And then he would bless him. Rebekah heard this, and Rebekah loved Jacob more than Esau. She wanted Jacob to receive the blessing. And so because of supposedly loving him, she led Jacob to take the blessing with deceit. That kind of lie, though, it's often justified on popular TV shows and movies. You know, you don't tell the truth if it's going to hurt someone's feelings. You don't tell the truth if it's going to get somebody in trouble. Young people, this happens a lot among young people, often think that loyalty to their friends means that they should lie to protect their friends. You know, family members often lie to cover up for one another. Those are perverted concepts of love and kindness. Because Jesus said that love should lead us to obey God's commands, not use love as an excuse to disobey them. And finally, some folks just lie out of habit. They do. Some people they get in the habit of lying and they just do it. You know, some people begin to lie for whatever various reason, but then it just becomes like a way of life. They lie even when there appears to be no real purpose in it. In Jeremiah 9, again, there's a lot of this in Jeremiah. It talks about how the people, they couldn't trust anyone. They couldn't trust the people. They were all up in arms, all the Israelites, because you couldn't trust what anybody would say. Everyone was deceiving their neighbors. Some people just seem to get pleasure out of misleading others. And so there's a number of things that cause us to lie, but I want us to finish up here by thinking about the consequences of lying. We need to realize that lying always harms others. It always does. Jacob deceived Isaac to get the blessing that Isaac intended to give Esau. Esau was so hurt and angry that he threatened to kill Jacob, right? Jacob had to flee from home, and Jacob and Esau were alienated for years and years after that. And from what we can tell, after Jacob left home, he never saw Rebekah again, the one who helped him deceive his father, right, out of love. And then see, think about the hurt. After promising to give Rachel as a wife to Jacob, Laban instead gave Leah, right? As a result, he works 7 years for a woman that he didn't want to marry. Both of them end up married to him, and it results in nothing but strife and alienation for the rest of their lives. Nothing but issues. When his sons deceived him, Jacob grieved and mourned for years, believing that Joseph was really dead. And later, his sons were extremely sorry for the grief that they had caused. They brought a lot of grief to their life. Lying and deceit often destroy people's reputations. It alienates people. Not just in families, but also on the job, at school, in the church. When people find out they've been lied to, they're often hurt. They're often angry. I love Proverbs 25:18 about this. A man who bears false witness is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. Think about that. A man who bears false witness is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. You lie, you're going to do some damage. You're going to do some damage. We need to be sure that we don't harm others with our lies. Lying also influences others to sin. Liars often influence other people. You know, lying kind of tends to feed on itself. The more people tell lies, the more the people become involved. Children often learn to practice lying because of their parents. Jacob learned it from his mom, right? And his sons learned it from him and from their uncle. That's the environment they grew up in. False teachers also deceive people into sinning. You know, the very first sin occurred because the serpent deceived Eve. You know, lies bring more sin. In Isaiah 9, it says the prophets taught lies and led the people to err and be destroyed. Many have been led to sin by the influence of people who lie and deceive. And with that also, lying leads to loss of respect, confidence. Who can trust someone who's known to tell lies? You can't. People want friends, they want acquaintances that they can trust, that they can rely on. If you want good people to respect and trust you, don't lie. Don't deceive in any way. Good people can't afford to continue to associate and be hurt by liars. And all it takes is one lie to destroy trust. One lie, one deception. That trust is broken. It takes time to fix that. And finally, lying alienates us from God. Lying can condemn us eternally, you know. Remember that lying is on the list of things that God hates twice, right? Remember in Proverbs chapter 6, we read that the entire passage last week. It's on there twice, right? In Proverbs 12:22, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Psalm 5:6 says, God will destroy those who speak a falsehood. You know, Titus 1:2 says, God is true and cannot lie. And so when we lie, when we become liars, God cannot fellowship with us. We separate ourselves from God. What a horrible thing to do. Lying is kind of like the common cold of spiritual diseases. Think about that, yeah? I would imagine it's probably the most common sin committed by mankind, including Christians. And I think that as a result, many people consider it minor, you know? But lies will eternally damn those of us who don't repent of that sin. If we want fellowship with God, we have to love the truth, speak the truth, and make sure to eradicate, to remove lying and deceit from our lives. We have to develop a strong commitment about not lying or deceiving others. And so I think if we continually remind ourselves of the terrible consequences of lying, it should motivate us to avoid lying and to oppose it in others. Help other people that you know have this issue. Help them to get it out of their lives too. Because like I said, it's so easy for us to hold on to some of these things thinking they're just little white lies. We have to fill our hearts with truth and reject lies and deceit. Let us stand and sing.